Good morning. Oh, that didn't sound very cheery. Good morning. We're really right-hand sided heavy today, which is okay. I'll just talk to y'all and they'll just be ignored for the entire time. No, I'm kidding. Welcome to Pride Sunday. This weekend in the city of Philadelphia is Pride Weekend. There are events happening all day today. And I actually forgot to ask the question if anyone knows whether or not there has been a Pride Sunday at our church. I don't know. Have y'all had a Pride Sunday before? No, we're having one today. And I'm so glad you're here for it. So let me tell you just a little bit about Pride. Pride is not about celebrating sexuality. It's really not. It's about honoring the history and the exclusion and this continued need for basic rights and humanity and grace and love and a lack of hatred to those folks who are different in one way or the other. Whatever it is, where maybe you're neurospicy, maybe you are, queer, maybe you're still figuring out who you are, maybe you're a kid who just loves having two little things, hair things, sticking out the top of their head. Everybody is a little bit different. And one of the things we serve our church best is by loving everyone equally. Even those people that it's hard to love. And we all know we got one or two of those in our lives, right? So today we're going to talk about pride. We're going to talk about love. We're going to talk about who it is that God wants us to be in the world. Now, the order of the service is very similar to what we've had in the past. However, a lot of the language is going to be unfamiliar to you because we're doing some different liturgies that are written specifically for Pride. So if you're not exactly sure of the words that you have been in the past, it's okay. The bulletin has everything in it that you need. So happy Pride to everybody. I'll go through the welcome first. We gather in the name of God, the non-binary Creator, Christ, and Holy Spirit, who helps us reframe our resistance to society's attempts to make us invisible. We gather to lament, reestablish our foundation in Jesus, celebrate the joy of God's love in our life together, and find the courage to speak and act in support of all of God's beloveds. We gather on the traditional homelands of the Lenni Lenape peoples. The roads that brought us here today were cross places where indigenous people walked and lived on this sacred land and still do today. We gather to honor the Creator and all creation, human, animal, plant, water, wind, earth, and sky that belong to God. Please rise for the confession. God of the divine feminine, and help read this next section. Help us strip away all that the world requires of us, the smallness, the daintiness, the gentle and submissive tendencies, the beauty standards, the trendiness, the fashion consciousness, the norms of cooking and cleaning and caretaking, the expectations of ladylike demeanor, a time of silence to name the ways we have harmed those who identify as female. Instead, equip us with all we see in you. Remind us of the ways in which we embody intuitiveness, compassion, wisdom, acceptance, forgiveness, collaboration, and reflectiveness. God of the divine masculine, help us strip away all that the world requires of us, the greatness, the supremacy, the righteous anger, the norms of being the sole protector and key provider, the expectations of becoming the one and only. A time of silence to name the ways that we have harmed those who identify as male. Instead, equip us with all we see in you. Remind us of the ways in which we embody logic, assertiveness, discipline, boundaries, confidence, and objectivity. God of the divine non-binary, help us string away the notion of the either-or, the archetypes and the paradigms that divide, the expectation that I must fit into a single category, a time of silence to name the ways we have harmed those who identify as non-binary or queer. Instead, equip us with all we see in you. remind us of the ways in which we embody expansiveness, liminal space, and inclusiveness. Help us to trust these qualities, to know them as holy, sacred, and worthy, to live boldly knowing that your asymmetrical love is always and everywhere unconditional. Hear us, God's beloved children. God knows and loves all of us and catches us when we stumble and fail to walk the good road with Jesus. We are a loved and forgiven people. May we continue to walk in joy as we love and forgive each other. And all God's beloved say, Amen. God of beauty, you gather your beloved children into your care. each one a unique image of you. You claim us as your own and call us to follow in the ways of mercy, justice, and joy. Help us move on from lament to build a foundation out of your loving kindness and justice, strengthening our changing hearts and minds to continue the work of your Son, Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen.
First reading is from Genesis. Isaac grew and stopped nursing. On the day he stopped nursing, Abraham prepared a huge banquet. Sarah saw Hagar's son laughing, the one Hagar the Egyptian had borne to Abraham. So she said to Abraham, "Send the slave away with her son. This slave's son won't share the inheritance with my son Isaac." This upset Abraham terribly because Ishmael was his son. God said to Abraham, "Don't be upset about the boy and your enslaved woman. Do everything Sarah tells you to do, because your descendants will be traced through Isaac. But through Hagar's son, I will make a great nation too, because he is also your descendant." Abraham got up early in the morning, took some bread and a flask of water, and gave it to Hagar. He put the boy in her shoulder sling and sent her away. She left and wandered through the desert near Beersheba. Finally, the water in the flask ran out, and she put the boy down under one of the desert shrubs. She walked away from him about as far as a bow shot and sat down, telling herself, "I can't bear to see the boy die." She sat at a distance, cried out in grief, and wept. God heard the boy's cries, and God's messenger called to Hagar from heaven and said to her, "Hagar, what's wrong? Don't be afraid. God has heard the boy's cries over there. Get up and pick up the boy and take him by the hand, because through him I will make a great nation." Then God opened her eyes. She saw a well. She went over, filled the water flask, and gave the boy a drink. God remained with the boy. He grew up, lived in the desert, and became an expert archer. He lived in the Paran Desert, and his mother found him an Egyptian wife. God's word invites us into life. Thanks be to God.
Gospel according to Matthew 12, 1 through 14. At that time, Jesus went through the wheat fields on the Sabbath. His disciples were hungry, so they were picking heads of wheat and eating them. When the Pharisees saw this, they said to him, "Look, your disciples are breaking the Sabbath law." But he said to them, "Haven't you read what David did when he and those with him were hungry? He went into God's house and broke the law by eating the bread of the presence, which only the priests were allowed to eat. Or haven't you read in the law that on the Sabbath, the priests in the temple treat the Sabbath as any other day and are still innocent? But I tell you that something greater than the temple is here. If you had known what this means, 'I want mercy and not sacrifice,' you wouldn't have condemned the innocent. The human one is Lord of the Sabbath." Jesus left that place and went into their synagogue. A man with a withered hand was there. Wanting to bring charges against Jesus, again, the leaders asked, "Does the law allow a person to heal on the Sabbath?" Jesus replied, "Who among you has a sheep that falls into a pit on the Sabbath and will not take hold of it and pull it out? How much more valuable is a person than a sheep? So the law allows a person to do what is good on the Sabbath." Then Jesus said to the man, "Stretch out your hand." So he did, and it was made healthy, just like the other one. The Pharisees went out and met in order to find a way to destroy Jesus. The gospel of our faith. All right, I invite the kids to come forward. over here, dude. Come on. All right. How are we doing today? We got Maya and, oh, goodness. Henry, are you drawing something? Mm-hmm. What are you drawing today? Awesome. How are you, Amy? You doing good? A little bit. All right, all right. So I want to ask you guys a question. Where does a rainbow come from? Does anybody? Sometimes when it rains, that's right. Yeah. And where, Henry, what were you going to say about where the rainbow comes from? Yeah, water, and it has light that's reflecting off of the sky, and it makes this beautiful thing that's called a rainbow. Do you remember if there's anything in the about a rainbow in the Bible? Anybody know?
Of course.
What is it?
Noah's Ark.
That's right, Noah's Ark. That's right. Noah builds a big ark, and he puts two animals, two male and female of every animal in the entire world into this boat. How that happened, I have no idea. This is Jesus magic, before Jesus. All right, so we have this big boat, and what happens? Is there a flood? Yeah, there's a big flood, and they're in the boat for 40 days and 40 nights. That's like almost a month and a half. That's a long time. Okay, 40 days and nights is 21 years. It's close. When you're waiting for something, there, you know, a lot. Okay, so here's the question. God uses a rainbow in the Noah's Ark story. Do you know why? Anybody? No? Do you know? God says to Noah, I will never flood the earth again. And this I will give you so that you know that my promise is true. And what is it that God gave Noah?
Rainbow.
A rainbow, that's right. It was God's promise that God would always love us and that God would never flood the earth again, which is a whole complicated story in and of itself. But the rainbow is a promise from God that everybody is loved. Today, huh? Yes, sometimes when it rains, we get a rainbow. That's one of my favorite things. When I was flying home from Haiti, this was like in 1981, we were up in the air, and the pilot said, look out the right window. And there was a complete circle rainbow, which often happens around the equator. And I'd never seen one before, and I've never seen anything twice. Have you seen double rainbows where there was one on top of the other one? Yeah. Have you seen rainbow maybe in, if you see oil or water on the ground and the light hits it, you can sort of see lots of colors and maybe a rainbow?
I've seen lots of rainbows.
Yeah, there's lots of different rainbows around. I'm wearing a shirt. Look at this. It has rainbow ice cream cones. Yes. Do you like ice cream? Do you like ice cream? Do you want to see it? You want to come see it? Nope, that's okay. Do you have a rainbow Band-Aid? That is awesome. So the reason that I have on rainbow and a lot of other people have on either rainbow or bright colors is because we want to say today, no matter what, that everybody matters, right? Do we believe that? That everybody matters. And who do we believe God loves? Everyone, that's right, everyone, no matter what. Even people that we have a hard time loving, God loves. God loves everybody. And it doesn't matter what might make them different. Some people are a different color. Some people are a different religion. Some people are have different families that might not, you might have a daddy and mommy. And a different what? Ward? Oh, they might come from a different world. Okay, that's possible as well. Absolutely. It'd be a huge waste of space if there wasn't somebody else somewhere, right? And it doesn't matter if your family has a mom and dad, or if your family has two dads, or if your family has two moms. It's all okay. Would you want to have 100 moms? Oh, man, I would not. That is a lot of moms to tell us what to do. Yeah. All right, so here's what I want us to do. I want us to remember that the rainbow symbolizes God's love, and that there is nobody, no matter who they are, that God doesn't love. And the rainbow can always remind us of that, because God gave the rainbow to the world to say, I love you. All right? Repeat after me, okay? God, thank you for rainbows. Thank you for different people in our lives so we can see the rainbow people all around us. Help us, God, to love everyone. Always. Amen. Thank y'all. Good job, guys. It's okay, you go back to your seat. Bye. Let us pray. Holy One, bless the reading and the hearing of your holy word, but especially of God, bless its doing. Amen. One of my favorite spiritual authors is Henry Nouwen. Anyone read Henry Nouwen before? One of the things I really appreciate about him is he's very clear about what's good and what's not so good for our brains, our humanity, for what our own spirituality and understanding is. Henry Nouwen said the three greatest lies in the world are, one, that you are what you do, your work, your role. The second big lie is that you are what you have, that self-worth comes from whether or not you have a beach house, whether or not your kids have all gone to college, whether or not your child is gay or straight. No matter any of those things, doesn't matter what you have, that's a big lie. It's not who you are. But the best one is number three. He said the biggest lie is that you are what other people say you are. Do you hear that? The biggest lie is when we believe that the definition of who we are comes from what other people say or think about us. Now, I am just as human as the rest of you, and there are moments in my life when I know someone is mad at me, and I want to fix it. I want to go, oh, I'm so sorry. What did I do to bother you? You know, why are you mad at me? I tell my students all the time that there will never be a day in ministry when there's not somebody upset about something that you did. It's an easy target. And maybe it's a real situation that the pastor has made somebody angry or upset. But that's not how we need to identify ourselves. It is by who we are and who we were created to be, right? We all know the Genesis story where God creates the earth in 7 days. And when God creates humanity, male and female, God says, they are good. All of this is good. All of this is blessed. Now, there are a lot of folks who lean on that text exclusively to say the only way that anyone can be in human relationship is based on Adam and Eve. Not Adam and Steve, or Eve and Evelyn, or wherever you want to go there. The truth is that throughout history, biologists and folks who have studied species know that almost in every species on planet Earth, there is some same-sex relationship. Now, I'm going to be honest in saying that every time I tell a story about my family, I gauge whether or not I'm going to describe my family or not. There were times in the past that Cindy, Shelby, and I would go on a vacation, and when I came back, I would simply say, our family had a really good vacation, because I wasn't sure how people would receive it. There were times if I did talk about Cindy and I parenting our son, people would look at us like, well, you've just been condemned to hell and condemned him too. When he had trouble at school, we would ask him, is this because your moms are gay? And he said, no. And I was like, then why are they giving you a hard time? And he said, because you two are still together and you like each other. Most of his friends were divorced. Throughout history, there has been one group or another who tried to lord over a group that they saw as inferior. Throughout history, you see the Roman Empire, you see other empires say, we're going to take these people because they are less worthy than us. The entire Second World War in Germany was framed around the need to get rid of those people who were polluting the purity of German bloodline. Mainly Jews. 6 million were killed. There were literally tens of thousands of gypsies and people who lived on their own in their own unique and genuine way. And there were somewhere between 15 and 20,000 gay people who were executed in those camps as well. Those were all the diabolicals. Those were all the useless. Those were all the evil, demonic people who had to be exterminated so that pride could be restored. Literally, he used that word. So that pride in Germany could be restored again. Now, the text that we read today, Genesis says everything is good. And then we have a story from Abraham and Sarah. Remember Abraham and Sarah? Basically, Abraham is the father of just about everybody now, but especially Jews, Muslims, and Christians. We're all Abrahamic faiths. We all come from who Abraham was. And in this particular text, it's a weird one to choose, but I'm going to tell you why. Sarah has a hard time having a child. Remember, she didn't have a child until she's very, very old. Doesn't stop Abraham from having kids with some of the other people that were his slaves. One of them was Hagar. He has a son with Hagar, and Sarah is not happy about this. So in the point of the story we are right now, Sarah says she is lower because she is a slave. Her son is the child of a slave. He has no worth in this in our community. We have to get rid of him because the longer he's around, the more people will say, maybe he should succeed Abraham. So she sends Hagar and Ishmael out into the desert, knows dang well what's going to happen to them. They're going to die of starvation and thirst. So mom and little boy are walking in the desert, and the mom sort of leans over on a tree that has a little bit of a shade, and she puts her son down, and she walks away. The distance of a bow, it tells us. So as far as you can shoot a bow. And she goes over there and she sits. And she says, I can't watch my son die. He is going to slowly starve and get dehydrated, and he's going to die, and I can't watch it. And so she sits there. And guess what? God shows up and says, everyone deserves to live. Even this slave and bastard child of Abraham. God comes in and says, there is nobody unworthy. There is nobody who doesn't deserve to be a part of the family of God, and rescues them, brings them back into relationship. And it is one of those moments where it's a huge, long story, but here's the center of it. God says, even you are loved. In the text today from the New Testament, we have two parallel stories of Jesus sort of getting in trouble with the religious authorities, right? First, he and his disciples are walking around. They're hungry, and they start picking the heads off of some of the wheat and eating it. I can tell you, I've tried that before. It's not very good. I don't recommend it. But that's what they were doing. Now, for the Pharisees and religious tradition of that time period, for the Jews, any labor that you did on the Sabbath was forbidden. To move your hand and to lift wheat off of the stalk and put it into your mouth was considered work. Now, how can you work on the Sabbath? And Jesus is like, excuse me? Everybody deserves to eat, right? Well, then the other thing that happens in the next passage is that Jesus goes into the synagogue knowing full well that these same religious leaders are following him in there. And he sees a man with a withered hand. And the Pharisees see Jesus looking at the man with the withered hand, and they look at him and challenge him. Is it okay to heal on the Sabbath? And Jesus says, even you, if you had a sheep that got caught in a ditch, wouldn't you go over and rescue it? So much more valuable are humans. And he heals the withered man's hands so that their hands are the same. The lesson in all of these readings is exactly the same, that nobody is beyond the love and grace of God. Now, I'm pretty sure there's a few of us in here who would think, really? I got one or two on my list that are really hard. Maybe it's a family member. Maybe it's a politician. Maybe it's a teacher that you had all kinds of trouble with growing up. Maybe it's an old boss that you still don't get along with, right? There's always somebody in our lives that's hard to love. But we're called to love them anyway. That is the example of Jesus Christ, that we love anyway, no matter what. And so if we're not what we do, and we're not what we have, and we're not what other people say we are, then we have to find our own identity. We have to find our own image. At the SEBA assembly last weekend, they handed out little compact mirrors. And at one point, they asked everybody to open the mirror and look at it. I couldn't dig mine out, so I booked my cell phone and put it on selfie mode so I could see myself, right? And the bishop, who you know and love, said, that is a child of God. The bishop, who you know and love, said, the image of what you see is the image of God. What you see in each other is God. What you accept and love and affirm in each other is God's command to love one another, even when it's hard. Sarah didn't want to love Hagar and certainly didn't want to love Hagar's son. And God said, it's not how we roll. I'm bringing him back. You got to deal with it. Jesus looks at the religious leaders who would draw a line on when he can heal and what he can do and what the Sabbath actually means. Jesus said, no matter what day of the week it is, people are more important than rules. In 1972, the United Methodist Church passed an amendment to their Book of Discipline, their constitution, that said that homosexuality is incompatible with Christian teaching. I was 10. I thought I was different at that point. I didn't know I was gay, you know? Another phrase said that anyone who is a self-avowed practicing homosexual cannot be a pastor in the church. Now, let me tell you what that means. Self-avowed means saying, I'm gay. I've said it once or twice. The first time I said it, the bishop found out, and he decided he was going to put me on trial to strip me of my credentials. I say it now, still every once in a while, a little tinge of what's going to happen. It depends on the context, right? There are places I feel totally safe, but there are a lot of other places where I don't. If you feel that for whatever reason, maybe it's the way that your brain works. Maybe it's the way that you sort of see the world around you. Maybe it's because you can't see the world around you in the same ways as everyone else because of blindness. Maybe it's because of an infirmity that continues to keep you limited in what you're able to do. Whatever that thing is that makes us think we're not worthy, that whatever it is in us that lets somebody else say that's who you are and we accept it, it's not honoring God's creation. God created us and said, you are good. There are probably still some people in this room who aren't sure about having a gay pastor. You had one for 11 years, so I thought I'd be fairly safe coming in after him, right? But there are probably still people who struggle. What does it mean when the Bible seems to say one thing? And it's not how many interpreters of the Bible read it now. It's not just because we don't want it to say what it says. It's because we have learned and studied and researched all the nuances of the language and the reasons, not only in the text, but elsewhere. Sodom and Gomorrah is thought of as a place where God destroyed because there were gay people there. That's actually not, according to Numbers, why God destroyed them. God destroyed them because they were inhospitable. They were not welcoming people into their community. They weren't loving others. They were kicking people out. They were refusing to be in relationship. They were refusing to allow others to drink from the wells. They were refusing to allow others to find food. why they were destroyed. You can believe me or not, there are plenty of people out there who will say that what I just said is blasphemy. I've been studying it for a while, and studying the studiers and the researchers and the interpreters and the first language edition reinterpreters. There are places in the Bible where all of us could get in trouble. Do you wear earrings? Anybody? You cut your hair? Anybody have on tattoos? Anybody eat pork? Yeah. Bacon? How could you not eat bacon? Anybody wear shirts or pants of different materials, different fabrics? Anyone covered their neighbor's car? Anyone covet someone who has season tickets to the Eagles? They're all sin. We're condemned for all of that. We just pick on one group, and I know it's more groups than that, but today we're talking about this group. We pick and choose to use the Bible as a way to bash people on the head. It's not what the Bible was intended. Even if you're still struggling, I hope you see the integrity of queer folks who are trying to live into the world today as authentically as we can, in the places that are as safe as we can get. But there's no guarantee, even here. There's no guarantee in Philadelphia, the city of sibling love, that people are going to be accepted or welcome. There's certainly no guarantee on Threads or Instagram or TikTok, on Facebook, that you're not going to get blasted for every pride thing that you post. But you see, I come in this room and I look at you and I feel safe. I feel like I'm home. I feel like this is a place where I can say my wife, Cindy, and our son, Shelby. In August, it'll be 33 years that we've been together, longer than a lot of other marriages. In October, it'll be 11 years married. We waited 22 years. It was a long time. But never again will I say my family went on vacation, even if somebody doesn't like that. I am not who someone else says that I am, and neither are you. Whether you've been labeled as the flirt or the nerd or the geek or the clumsy, the old, the young, the too much, whew, she's a 12 on a 10 scale. God loves you anyway. Doesn't matter. God loves all of you. Unconditionally. And I can proudly stand here today and say this. And I love you too. Amen.
And the world.
Let us proclaim our faith to each other and to the world. We are not alone. We live in God's world. We believe in God who has created and is creating, who has come in Jesus, the Word made flesh, to reconcile and make new, who works in us and others by the Spirit. We trust in God. We are called to be the church, to celebrate God's presence, to live with respect in creation, to love and serve others, to seek justice and resist evil, to proclaim Jesus crucified and risen, our judge and our hope. In life, in death, in life beyond death, God is with us. We are not alone. Thanks be to God.
Prayers of the people. Gracious Lord, let streams of your living justice flow down upon the earth. Let us offer the poor warmth, feed the hands of the hungry whose arms are outstretched. Give shelter to those who find themselves without a place to call home. Surround our siblings who are within the LGBTQIA+ community with your loving acceptance and grace. O God of compassion,
receive our offering.
Dear comforting Lord, let the streams of your living justice flow down upon the earth. Lift the mourner, the broken in spirit, those who grieve from abuse, for those who long for nothing more than to laugh again, for when tears have filled their eyes, for our siblings who experience oppression and exclusion in our society. O God of compassion,
receive our offering.
God of peace, let streams of your living justice flow down upon the earth for healing of the world, our nation and others, our communities, our church, our political leaders. Grant us grace to mend, but not stay still. Sustain our courage and help us to abandon vengeance and hatred, lifting us up to love all our neighbors as ourselves. God of compassion,
receive our offering.
God of love, shown to us in the life of Jesus Christ, let your streams of living justice flow down upon the earth. Stir in us our faith and courage in equal measure so we may serve others, to walk beside our siblings instead of away, to embrace all of humanity and creation as a gift from you. Create us in a clean heart. O God of compassion,
receive our offering.
God of all, we offer to you these prayers and those we hold in our hearts. Continue to fill us with the hope and the understanding that we have been made in your image, yet weaving our diversity into one beautiful tapestry that we respect and uplift. Amen.
The Spirit-filled peace of Christ be with you always. Share signs of peace with one another. Peace be with you. So nice to have you here today. Yes, peace be with you. Peace be with you.
I had one in the car.
Peace be with you.
I thought I ordered it because I didn't hit send.
Peace be with you. I have no idea what happened.
Oh, no worries. Okay. I was looking, wait, I swear I was...
Peace be with you.
Wait, this is no big deal.
Yeah.
Peace be with you.
Peace be with you. I got the love is love, too. There you go. Peace be with you. Peace be with you.
Peace be with you.
Peace to everybody on the screen. Peace to all of you. Peace.
Thank you for the card.
Oh, you're welcome.
Oh.
Peace be with
you. Love you too.
Peace be with you, George. Peace be with you.
Peace be with you. Fayette Street's going to be closed next Sunday from early to 1 o'clock.
All right, do we have any God sightings today? Mia, you have a God sighting? Yes, Suzanne.
Hi, I have a God sighting. I requested that some people send cards for my mom for her birthday, and we were hoping for 90 years, because she's felt forgotten and lonely, and her circle has closed up. And I want to thank you all, because she got over 150 cards, and you caused her to cry and to know that she is loved. And they were for cards all over the country. So thank you, my family. I just love you all.
Thank you. Beautiful. You have one, Donna? I'm so shocked.
One. Well, you know I look for the good in things. Okay. We had our monthly drop-off this past Wednesday night, and it was absolutely remarkable. It usually takes us several hours to put it away. But the folks who turned up this Wednesday night, each and every one of them, really, really helped things, organized things. We managed to get it all done in about an hour and a half, which is amazing, absolutely amazing. But everybody who came, and part of who came were Girl Scouts. So that was what was really nice, and their moms, and you know, and then we had our other folks who came. And it just, like I said, it was just phenomenal. It went much smoother than it normally does, so it was really terrific. Okay, thanks. That's all I got to say.
Thank you.
So I personally experienced a miracle in the past 48 hours. If you were here last week, you saw that the Lion King did a little performance. That show did not come together until the day of the performance. The kids had no idea what they were doing. Louise, where are you?
Yay, Louise!
Louise, you are a leader. I want to call you out specifically.
Yay, Louise!
You and the rest of those kids pulled it together in a day, so I'm very proud of that cast.
Yeah, and next Saturday they have performances at 1 and 3 over at the park, am I right?
Yep.
And I've just been told there's a race next Sunday on Fayette, so you may need to come to the church by a different route, okay? So just want to remind you of that. We'll remind you of others. I have a couple of announcements, pretty brief announcements, but I want to remind you of a couple of things. We have a number of people who know how to do the video uploads from our Zoom, but we're training even more so that we can actually get on a calendar so we know who's responsible for each Sunday. So next Sunday after church, just like she did this past Sunday, Samara is going to do some training. So hang around if you're able to do that. Make sure you put Vacation Bible School on your dates. We want to make sure that everybody is there for that. I think everything else in the announcements is pretty self-explanatory, but I do want to say applications are due by June 26th for the St. Mark's Lutheran Church scholarships. So please get those in. And those are for folks graduating and going into college. Also folks who are going back to get retraining. Someone who's going back to get a more advanced degree. Just make sure you let us know in the office. We'll get you the scholarship application. And there's a letter of reference that's required. So I think that is all of the announcements that I have for today. So I invite the ushers to please come up. Oh. I'm very sorry, I didn't see over there. It's okay.
I just wanted to announce that next Sunday is our handbag bingo.
Oh, yeah.
And we have a whole lot of raffle baskets that have been dropped off. But if you have a raffle basket that you would like to drop off, we are so excited to receive that. We have the handbags here. We're going to do a sneak peek today on our Facebook page to try to encourage some more pre-sales. And there's a special raffle for people who buy their ticket in advance. So I wanted to say personally and from the our team, thank you all so much, because everyone has really pulled together to help us make this happen, and next week is it. So
well, I think if you bring canned goods or non-perishable items, you get additional raffle tickets?
Yes, if you bring any canned goods or any non-perishable food that we can add to our pantry shelves, you will get not one, three free raffle tickets to win a prize.
So, yay!
There you go.
All right, sorry I didn't see you over there. Now, may the ushers please come forward for this morning's offering as we give back from all that we have to help this church and others do the work that we're called to do. Cindy. Let us pray. Creator God, in your wisdom, you bring forth all that is good, and your creation provides us with abundance of what we need. May our gifts of all kinds and our labor contribute to the building of a blessed community, which welcomes all people and sees all people, and that works for justice for all people. Amen. God is here. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to our God, the one who sees us. God of rainbow promises, who paints both sunrise and sunset with colors that reveal your glory, in the transition from day to night and back again, who formed us in their image and breathed into us the breath of life. Praise to you for their faithfulness shown to us since creation, as we sing with all the creatures of the earth and heavens you have made. Holy, mighty, intimate God, who sees us and knows us intimately, you are a deep well of love, grace, and mercy. In Christ, you are with us, each of us, all of us, poured out because of your great love for us. You're the God of Sarah and Abraham, imperfect people and foundations of our faith. You called out to Hagar in her distress in the wilderness, promising new life and new beginnings. When we are harassed, scorned, and forgotten, when we cry out from the mud, you deliver us from our enemies. When we are pressed down by rules of the world and not your mercy, you remind us of our identity in you, holy and beloved. when we are abused, neglected, and isolated, you do not erase us from your presence, but meeting us where we are, you guide us forward with words of love and mercy, remembering your love poured out for us on the cross. In the ways you bind us to one another, we give you thanks for these gifts of grain and fruit of the vine, abundance found in the simple, community found in the gathering, joy found in the resistance. On the night in which he was betrayed, our Lord Jesus took bread and gave thanks, broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat, this is my body given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." After the supper, he took the cup, gave thanks, and gave it for all to drink, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sin. Do this in the remembrance of me." Let us pray together using words inspired by Jesus, but spoken in a different way today. Our mother and father, our beloved parent, in whom we move and breathe and have our being, the hallowing of your name shines forth in the diversity of your children. May your peace and love, justice and equality, inclusion and belonging reign here on earth as in heaven. Along with ourselves, grant that God's beloveds who have been marginalized might have their daily needs met, that they might find gainful employment without discrimination, that they might have access to medical care without fear, that they might have their rights and lives protected, and that they might find a loving community to belong to. Forgive us for the ways that we have fallen short and failed so many of your children. Forgive us of the times we turned away or did not care, for the times we laughed or judged unique expressions of your image, for the times we have misspoken, asked too much, or failed to hear as we forgive those who might have failed us. Lead us away from the temptation to be complacent in the face of injustice, but instead give us courage to stand up and stand with your beloved children. For your love and justice is to be made manifest now and forever. Amen. Today we receive communion at the rail. The ushers will direct you. You receive bread from me. If you need gluten-free, please let me know that. The tray has an empty cup for the wine, and the ones that are filled light color is apple juice. Come to the banquet, for all is now ready. The body of Christ broken and given for you. I know that and I still mess up. I'm sorry. The body of Christ given for you. The blood of Christ poured out for you. Broken and given for you. The body of Christ broken and given for you in deep love. The body of Christ broken and given for you with deep love. The body of Christ broken and given for you with deep love. The body of Christ broken and given for you in deep love. The body of Christ broken and given for you in deep love. This is body of Christ given for you because God loves you. awareness, you gathered us into one through this holy meal. Grant that we might go out into the world filled with your grace and love so that we might, so that we yourself might serve others. In your many names we pray, amen. Blessing, may the Creator of all embolden us to live, to be fiercely and authentically human. May the Holy Protector guide us as we continue to discover the fullness of who we are. And may the Spirit of truth and wisdom guide us to seek justice for all. Amen. I've said this a number of times, I'll continue to say it. If it's not love, it's not God. We continue to work towards that. Go forth with courage, loving God and serving neighbors. Amen.